All right, let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the promises that you have given us in your word. We thank you so much for being your children, Lord. What an honor and privilege that is. I just thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, to be in your house this morning and praise you, glorify you through our songs, through our worship, Lord. And we know that you're here among us, and we pray this morning that your work will be done. Blessing on each one that's here this morning, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for those that are homebound or those that couldn't be with us. And we pray especially this morning, Lord, for our beloved pastor and his wife, Rachel. I ask that you'd be with them through their time at Southern Baptist Convention. And I ask, Lord, that there be tension among all those present there at that convention, Lord, that in the end that you will be done. I ask also, Lord, you would be with those that are mission field this morning in your work. I've asked for your prayer. I ask that you would watch over them as you watch over your children. Thank you again for the great and awesome and graceful God that you are. Amen. Okay, usually at this time we take a few minutes of meditation before we get into the lesson, but I just want to remind us God promised to be with his people and to reveal his glory. So let's take a few moments in reflection and prayer to express our gratitude, reverence, and confession to the Lord. Let us come before him with pure hearts. Again, good morning, everyone. It's great to see all your smiling faces out there this morning. I just want to ask just a quick question, and I'm sure everybody will raise their hand. Who all acknowledges among us that this is the true word of God? Everything in this word is truth. Amen. We're off to a good start. Okay. The promises of God and the joy we receive from Him. That last song we sang, as you might have deduced, I've loved that old song since I was a kid, and there's so much in that. As I got to thinking about it, it was an inspiration for my sermon today, because sometimes I don't think we fail to lean on those promises enough or fail to really search them out and understand each one of them and what it is promising us. And we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, they come from God, so they are 100% reliable and trustworthy. So I want to start out, though, first. Let's read from 2 Peter 3, 8, and 9. I want to read this because I do struggle sometimes with patience. I don't know about the rest of you, but, you know, I want things and I want them now. Type of thing. So I just want to keep this from Peter a bit in our watch pocket as we go through God's promises. 2 Peter 8 and 9 says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day." Ben and I were talking something about that last Sunday. I think we made a hint towards that. If this is the case, 1,000 years, the world is approximately 8,000 years old. It's only 8 days old. Okay? "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise. As some understand slowness, He is patient with you." This is great. "Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So, we talk about these promises that He's making today. Sometimes there's a need for us to show patience and keep the faith. Now, there are approximately 2,100 promises in God's Word, and we as believers, listen to this word, we as believers inherit them because God loves to bless His people. It's an honor and a privilege to serve God, but sometimes, like Moses, we need to be reminded of God's promises in Exodus 4, 11, and 12, and I'm going to read those, and Numbers 23 and 9, but I want you to vision and think about, as I did when I was reading about Moses. Moses ran from Egypt in fear of his life. They wanted to kill him. And he ended up spending a big share of his life as a shepherd in a foreign land and a family man, but he always did stay true to God. But all of a sudden, God shows up in front of him one day and says, "Moses." Now that would be shock enough. But you want me to do what? Are you kidding me? I can't even speak. And you want me to do what? And I love this answer that God has. I've come to realize I need to burn this verse in my mind. This comes under one of the promises of assurance. God's assurances. This is taken from Exodus 4, 11, and 12. This is God responding to Moses, and He says, God said, "And who do you think made the human mouth? And who makes some mute, some deaf, some sighted, some blind? Isn't it I, God? So get going. Right there with you, with your mouth, I'll be right to teach you what to say." My situation today, I really needed to read that first. Okay, now to go along with that, in Numbers 23, 19, "God is not man that he should be, or a son of man that he should," excuse me, I left out an important word there. "God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. He has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" So, those two verses going together, what he was saying to Moses Moses could put his total faith and trust in it. All right. I'd like to talk a little bit about, before we get into the promises, about the character of the great God we serve. And I'm sure most of you know all these, but never hurts to reflect back on them, especially in times of trouble. But he shows himself to be a God of grace, truth, slow to anger, abounding in love, faithfulness, wisdom, and goodness, and all-powerful, and a just and sovereign God. What a mouthful, huh? Man. This is the God that makes these promises to his children. This is God that makes his promises to us. Let's read from Titus 2, 11 and 14. All right, I'm just going to speed things along a little. Titus 2, 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. You want a definition of God's grace? We got to add to that. He offers salvation to all people. That's God's offer. What's our responsibility? To respond to that call and belief. All right. In Matthew 24, 35, God declares, the earth and the sky will wear out and fade away before one word I speak will lose its power or fail to accomplish its power or from forgiveness to compassion to confidence, provision, freedom to protection, these promises do not change. As we can attest to in Numbers 23:19, these promises give us hope. Big word. We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning. Difference between the hope we're talking about here and worldly hope. It gives us hope, which is so important in our lives today. For the future based on God's love and grace. So today, you can breathe a sigh of relief. I'm not going to read all 2,100 of God's promises. But, though I love them all, I'm going to dwell on a few of my favorite ones. And that was hard to pick out because they're all my favorite. But I know due to time, so I don't find myself standing here in the dark, we couldn't read them all. So I'm going to just start out with the word adoption. Starting with Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now, I want you to listen closely to these and remember them. We tend to forget a lot of times. In the Spirit, and this is Romans 8:16 and 17, now the Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ, seeing that we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified in him. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. And in 1 John 3:1, what marvelous love the Father endured to us. Just look at it. We're called the children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take seriously, because it has no idea who or what he's up to. And the second one is confidence. I need all the confidence I can get. This, again, is a promise given to us in the Word. Psalm 112:8. The righteous are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. Taken from Hebrews 10:19 and 20. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Amen. And the next one is going to be contentment. Everybody content with their situation and how things are? Hebrews 13:5 tells us, don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have, for you always have God's presence. For hasn't he promised you, I will never leave you alone, never, and I will not loosen my grip on your life. Great words, great words. Okay, then we go to deliverance. Starting in... All right, this is taken from Joel 2:32. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, for on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance. As the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. 2 Corinthians 1:10. He has delivered us from such a terrible death, and he will deliver us. We have put our hope in him that he will deliver us again. And 2 Timothy 4:18, and my Lord will continue to deliver me from every form of evil and give me life in his heavenly kingdom. May all the glory go to him alone for all the ages of eternity. This one is one that we all, I'm sure, truly love. This is called eternal life. I want to start reading from Luke 18, 29 and 30. Truly I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers and sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. This taken from John 10, 28 and 29. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. And this taken from John 14, 3 and 4. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going. And in Romans 6, 22 and 23, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, and then we'll move on to the next one is guidance. We all need guidance. I do. Okay. That starting in Psalms 16:11. You reveal the path of life to me, and in your presence is an abundant joy. In your right hand are eternal pleasures. And I want to emphasize that word joy again, because we're going to talk a little bit about that. But these cannot help but bring joy into our life as we read these promises God's giving to each one of us here today. 19:3-8 says, the life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. The directions of God are plain and easy on the eyes. And again in Psalms 25:8-9, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right, and he teaches them his way. And I have one more here from Isaiah. Great book of Isaiah. You can spend a lot of time in Isaiah. Isaiah 42:16. I will lead the blind by a way they did not know. I will guide them on paths they have not known. I will turn darkness to light in front of him and rough places into level ground. This is what I will do for you, for them, and I will not forsake them. Okay, now we're going to touch a little bit on that word hope again. Another promise of hope he gives us. This starting in Colossians 1:4-5. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. And in Hebrews 6:18-19, God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God. Okay. One more. Referring a little bit here to Nicodemus. We're going to talk about new birth. That taken from Romans 6:3-4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. James 1:18. By his own choice, he gave us a new birth by the message of truth, so that we would be the first fruits of his creatures. And this taken from 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Provision. I think that's a little bit misunderstood sometimes, too. We do it in justice. I think it's very important for us, especially as God's children and people, to realize and understand that everything comes from God. Everything. I mean, he created this earth. He created the environment for us to live in. I mean, it all, and he created life. He gave us life. It all comes from him. We can't take any credit for any of that. So when he promises to provide for us, we can certainly put our assurances in the fact that he will. Uh-oh, it's coming. Excuse me. This taken from Romans 8:32. For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us all, he certainly will not hold from us anything else he has to give. Amen. And God, this taken from 2 Corinthians, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. And I can sure speak for a lot of us in this building today that they definitely are sharing with others. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. That taken from James 1:17. And one last one here, greatest one. That is salvation. This taken from Acts 4:11-12. Jesus is a stone you masons threw out, which is now the cornerstone. Salvation comes no other way. No other name has been given or will be given to us by which we can be saved. Only this one. This taken from Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Ephesians 1:13. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And lastly, Hebrews 9:27-28. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting on him. Amen. Jesus is our great hope. You can read again, I was talking about Isaiah. Isaiah 40 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and soar like eagles. All right, 2 Corinthians 1:20-22 says, for the many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So, when we say amen, we're what? We're affirming the truth. Okay. Now it is God who makes both me and you stand firm in Christ. He has anointed us, he has set a seal of ownership on us, and he has put his Spirit in our hearts, guaranteeing what is to come by the grace of God and by our belief in faith in Christ. These promises are made to us. They are honorable and they are worthy. And when I talk about the word seal, we can refer back to the Old Testament and even later years, but they used to talk about the seal. A king would put his seal on something, and no one could break that seal except someone either totally authorized or someone more powerful than that king. God is putting his seal on us, and there's nobody more powerful than God. Okay. And made by him according to the purpose of his own will, and they are guaranteed by the character of God. So, what or who do his promises cover? Who do you think of when we say that? What or who do his promises cover? His people. In other words, the penitent. You know what penitent means? Those who come before Christ in sorrow, confessing and repenting of their sins. The believing, those believing in Christ as their Savior. Those who serve him. Those that pray faithfully in all things. The obeying, the suffering, the faithful. These promises bring us blessings, hope, and joy. They give us pardon of our sins through confession. They give us justification. They give us sanctification. They give us preservation. If we focus on Jesus, we will finish the race. He is our model. He really, really was a great model, wasn't he? Okay, instruction. He'll give us instruction. I want to read from James 1:5-8. All right, James 1:5. Okay. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all They do. Okay, so again, getting back to these promises that we're reading today, it all comes down to, always, doesn't it? It comes back to belief, faith, and trust in the Lord. We approach the Lord in our prayers and our petitions. We need to have no doubt that He's hearing it, and He will answer it. We don't always know exactly how or in what way, but He will answer it. We need that kind of faith. Okay. In spite of our failures, God will bring His committed people through the difficulties of life and to their promised destiny in Christ. Without any doubt, the promises are assuredly the mind and the purpose of the eternal God. They are stable in Christ, who is the witness of the promises of God and fulfilled by His death and resurrection. Amen. God is made glorious by His believing and trusting people. God is glorious, and by us believing and trusting and having faith in Him, we also become glorious. What an honor and privilege. We glorify God with our love and our grace. We glorify His power as we see Him keep His promises. We glorify Him by our faith, which honors Him. And we glorify Him by our trust in His Son, His Word, and the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful blessing is in the promises of God. So, by our faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our love and obedience to God's will for us, and our patience to wait for His timing, we can rest confidently in the promises of God. Going back to 2 Peter, what we read. We can experience joy and well-being by trusting in God's promises. It gives us hope, confident expectation, and blessed assurance of our future destiny. It is sustained by the life of Christ and maintained by the Holy Spirit. We receive strength from the promises of God, which brings joy that leads to praise, family happiness, and is a good witness to others around us. So let's talk a little bit about the joy of God. Everybody believe that God has joy? That He does. He took joy in His many things. Let me bring a few up here. God Himself knows joy, and He wants His people to know joy. He rejoiced in His creation. How glory it was until sinful man came along and messed it up. But when we read about the Garden of Eden and think about the world being like that, it was a very, very glorious creation, all right? John 16:22 tells us, "No one will take away from your joy. This promise comes from our Savior Himself. Therefore, we rest cheerfully and peacefully in our friend and Savior, Jesus our Lord." Joy is a gift from God, the giver of every good gift. God rejoices in His redeemed people. Gives God great pleasure and joy when His people come to Him and serve Him. He rejoices over every sinner who repents. Every time we get down on our hands and knees and confess our sins and repent of those sins, it brings not only glory to God, but it gives Him joy. The Bible tells us the multitudes in heaven shout with joy. I want to read the word from Luke, the words of Jesus that emphasize this. It's found in Luke 15:8-10. All right, got it up here. Starting in verse 8, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." You hear him shouting up there every time. The joy of God came to focus in the human history in Jesus. Through Jesus, the measure of God's grace and love is seen. Greatest verse in the Bible. Great promise has always been to me. This is example of the gospel. God, we all know it. John 3:16, and we say it together. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever but have everlasting life. Amen. What a great promise. And you know, he talks about, or God gave his only Son. He's not referring to the fact that Jesus was his only Son. What he's referring to the fact is Jesus was a perfect Son above all sons. He was a perfect example of what a son should be. He was special. And there was no one like him. When we walk with the Lord, we honor him. Why is that so important? I'll tell you why. Did a little searching there. Had to go all the way back to 1 Samuel 1:30, but it tells it perfectly. He says, those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me will be disdained. The importance of honoring God. Joy in the Lord enables us to enjoy all that God has given and promises to give. I'm going to read Isaiah 35. Now, don't panic, because when I told Chief about it, he says, the whole chapter? And I said, yeah, the whole chapter. I don't know if I can get it up there. Well, he said he got it up there, but this fits in so well to me this morning with my message. So I want to read it. It's not that long, so don't get panicky about it, but I'm going to read from it, and all right. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord. The splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with a vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning land will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling with springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papayas will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk in the way. The ungodly will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go on it. And will be there, or any ravenous beast, they will not be found there. Only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Great words. Great words. Okay. 2 Peter 3:13 says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So, I would ask you, when things around you appear dark and terrifying, we need to hold on to God's promises. Remember the mighty deeds done by him, and be confident to go forward with joy in the knowledge that he is in complete control. All right. So, I guess you're fortunate here. In closing, I would like to emphasize how important it is for us to remember the promises of God and remain in union with God. After all the ages that have passed, they are still His promises. They bring us joy. All the ages that have passed, not only in our time, in our lifetime, but you go all the way through the Scripture, the many ages that have passed, those promises, you can see them fulfilled all the way through the Scripture. We cannot lean on God's promises themselves. This is important. Without leaning on Jesus in them, or they will come to nothing. To me, the gospel is the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for our sins. The purpose of the ministry of Christ is to reconcile you with the Father. Our part is to acknowledge His sovereignty and His redemptive power in our lives through you've heard it before when you're preaching, and you heard it where it talks about God's providence and man's responsibility. We sometimes get asked, what does he mean by that? There's a very short word for that that can really cover it. What is man's responsibility? Just, I know we could go on, but a quick answer. What is man's responsibility? When a pastor says that, a preacher says that, and man's responsibility, what is it? It's belief. It's belief. That's where it starts. It grows from belief, but we have to, first of all, believe. You know, we were talking about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning, is what we're talking about in John 3:16. There's going to be people that are going to stand before God, and but what it's talking about there is the range of God's grace and love. He can and will and does forgive the most sinful person in the world when they come to Him in belief and confession. Think of that. Now, there's also a short span there. You can have someone. And you hear this, people say this, that, well, you know, I live a good life. I think when I add it all up, 60, 70% of the time I'm a good person, the rest of the time I'm not. So I should be okay. When you stand in front of God, you can be the best behaved person is. You can follow all the laws as close as you possibly can, follow the rules. You can do good things to help other people. But if you don't believe, you're not going to make it. That's the only way, is our belief and trust in Christ. Okay. Figure out where I left off again when I get off on my spiel here. The purpose of the ministry of Christ was to reconcile you to the Father. Our part is to acknowledge His sovereignty and His redemptive power in our life. Through Christ sacrifice for us all that is required of us is to turn to Him in repentance, confession for our sins, and believe in Him as your Savior and Redeemer. To be blessed by these promises, we must know Jesus as our personal Savior and Redeemer. We must commit our lives to Him and be obedient to His will. Therefore, hold on to His promises. Place your entire trust and faith in the living Christ. All right. Always remember, God rules and works according to His eternal purpose. Even though events that seem to oppose or contradict His rule, He is sovereign. He is in charge. He's there. There's times when we might think, oh, where's He at with this? He's there. He's controlled. The joy we receive from this is the obedience to the Word. In Philippians 4:4, it tells us to rejoice in the Word, in the Lord always. Joy drives out discord and helps against the trials of life. It's in line with the character of God. So rejoice in the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to do something just a little bit different this morning. You know, there's so many great prayers in the Scripture, so many of them. And so this morning, I'm going to read from Philippians. And this goes back to Paul, the church of Philippi, which Paul loved dearly. But this was his prayer to the church at Philippi. And listen to these words, because this would also, to me, be my prayer for this church. Starting in Philippians 9, these are Paul's words. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So with that, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen, and God bless you all. Thank you.